Let me share with you a scripture for this morning. This is from the version called The Message. This about an appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, coming from the Gospel according to Luke. While they were saying all this, Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." They thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. He continued with them, "Don't be upset. Don't let all these doubting questions take over. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. A ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this." As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. They still couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was too much. It seemed too good to be true. He asked, "Do you have any food here?" They gave him a piece of leftover fish they had cooked. He took it and ate it right before their eyes. Then he said, "Everything I told you while I was with you comes to this. All the things written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms have been come to be fulfilled." He went on to open their understanding of the Word of God, showing them how to read their Bibles this way. He said, "You can see now how it is written that the Messiah suffers, rises from the dead on the third day, and then a total life change through the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, starting from here, from Jerusalem. You are the first to hear and see it. You're the witnesses. What comes next is very important. I'm sending what my father promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high." May God add blessing to the reading of the word. Those of you who get the palm leaf, most of you do, I think, we'll see that there's a list of sermons for the month. And to get that list, Judy and I look at the Sundays that we're preaching, and then we looked at the lectionary lessons, and then we pick out a lesson that we want to use from the lectionary. There are four lessons. And then we give the sermon a title. Well, sometimes the title has nothing to do with the sermon, and this is one of those. Somewhere along the way, I forgot why I picked that particular lesson, and so when I read it again, something else jumped out at me, and I thought, well, I think I'll focus on that. It has very little to do with open minds. God is still speaking, but you get what you get, okay? The first part of the lesson that jumped out at me was this, where Jesus appears, and the lesson says, they thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. Jesus responds by saying, "Don't be upset, don't be afraid." Do you remember what the first words of the gospel are? The angels appear to the shepherds who are out watching their flocks by night, and what does the shepherds or the angels say to them? "Don't be afraid." First words of the gospel. And here we are, way down the other end of the story. Jesus has died. He's come to life. He visits his disciples, and he says it again, "Don't be afraid." It's a message that is carried all throughout the Gospels by Jesus and by the writers. Don't be afraid. Since I've come to Church of the Palms, especially in the last couple of months, I think, I've had two conversations with people who took exception to something I said in my sermon. Imagine that. They were both visitors, by the way, so you're all safe. Even the you visitors, I think, are safe. And essentially what they both said was, "How can you be a Christian and believe that?" Whatever it was I said. I sensed in each one of them an essence of fear. A fear that for he or she, if they believed what I believed, as what I said in the sermon, that it would ruin their faith, that they would have no more faith if they believed that their faith would just fall apart. I also felt in one case that this person was making a genuine effort to understand what I was saying, but was afraid to acknowledge it, that he was struggling with what I was saying, because he was afraid that maybe, just maybe, there might be some truth in it. And there again is the fear factor for him, unable to acknowledge that he was afraid for that. Interim periods in churches can bring out some fears that don't seem to have been there before. Fears like, what's going to happen to us when Len retires? Will there be lots of members who will leave because Len is leaving? What sort of interim pastor will we get? What sort of new pastor will we get? How long will it take? Will we like her or like him? What sort of things are going to change with our new pastor? All can be fears during this interim time. I didn't get much of a sense of those fears in the listening sessions that we just completed. Linda is going to report on those sessions here a little bit later in our worship service. But in those sessions, there was a lot of appreciation for Len and his ministry, as there should be. But he did such a good job of preparing you for his retirement, I sense a great confidence in you in the future, even while you were missing him. Fear is a powerful emotion, and it so controls our behavior. Anyone else here besides me have a fear of heights? Is that all? Wow. I expected more. The fear I have when I'm on the roof of a house, if you can even get me up there, is that I'm being pulled to the edge. Do any of you have that feeling? Those of you who are afraid of heights, I feel like something's pulling me to the edge. And of course, as a father of four, I had to go up on the Ferris wheel a few times. And a couple of things happened up there. One is going through my, of course, I was terrified, right? I'm hanging on white knuckled. And two thoughts I had. One is, if that car, that little car we were in broke, would I save my child, or would it be every man for himself? And then there's the idiot in the other car who's swinging, you know, and waving. Well, any minute I'm afraid I'm going to slip down under that seat and fall to my death. And so if you have a fear like that, in my case it's fear of heights, you know how that controls your behavior. You know, we go to war out of fear. Nations fight each other out of fear. We kill and maim each other out of fear. We perpetrate all kinds of grave injustices on one another out of fear. We resist growth and change and newness out of fear because we're afraid. We alienate each other out of fear. I think Jesus knew how powerful fear can be. And that's why it came up so often in his ministry, how often he had to teach us and teach those who were with him, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's almost as if in this appearing in his resurrection, Jesus knew they would be terrified when they saw him because they didn't get it. They didn't get all the prophecies and the predictions that he made himself, that I will see you again. They didn't get it, so he knew they'd be terrified. And so that's why in the lesson says, hey, it's really me. You know, touch me. See me. Metaphorically, this passage assures us that Jesus is alive in the world. If not in body, certainly in spirit. Alive in the Christ who guides our living and teaching by his example. My next favorite line in this lesson was the one toward the end where the lesson says, he went on to open their understanding of the Word of God. This is the essence of the UCC assurance that God is still speaking, that the Holy Spirit continues to open our minds and our hearts to the Word of God. The Word of God is not found only in the Bible. The Word of God is found in nature. We spent the last 2.5 days in Sedona. If you don't experience the presence of God in Sedona, where do you experience it? It's the Word of God, the presence of God in nature. We also experience the presence and the Word and the love of God in our relationships to one another, our relationships of love and devotion. And we experience the Word of God in our passions for justice and for truth. The appreciative inquiry sessions brought out something that was so important to you here at Church of the Palms, and that is that in so many ways you said we are free and are encouraged to explore our faith, to ask questions, to test ourselves. And we give others and encourage other people to do the same without judgment. And we do all of this without fear. I've always felt that if my faith can't take some scrutiny, then there's something missing in it. There's something lacking. There's something weak. And at the same time, if I'm jealous of someone else's faith, it's because something is missing. Something is lacking. Something is weak in my own. I had a young man visit me at West Congregational UCC, a church I served 10 years in West Phoenix, and he came and it was after church, and he came up and he said, "What is absolute truth?" And I thought, absolute truth, though, beats me. But I will tell you that I believe that God loves everything God has created, which includes every one of us in this world, everyone and everything in God's creation. And if that is true, if that is truth, as we UCCers believe it is, then what do we have to fear? We can live by the rule of fear, or we can live by the rule of love, God's love. I think you know that hymn, "O love that will not let me go." You know that hymn? "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." And the first letter of John says that perfect love casts out fear. And God's love is perfect. So if pressed on what is absolute truth, I would have to say that God's love is as absolute as anything gets. Love for you, love for me, and love for all that God creates. And that love is greater than all of our fears, real or imagined. Amen.